This month marks the 65th anniversary of the day that shall live in infamy. But what really fueled the 1941 Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and the Nazi genocide of millions of people during World War II? Stay tuned.
Evolutionism leads to mass slaughter, torture, the murder of individuals that are considered to be less evolved.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. World War II was a horrendous time in world history. Millions of people died as Germany and Japan tried to take over the world. But what was the mindset behind such evil tyranny? Could the evolutionary worldview of survival of the fittest have played a role in the cause of World War II and the terrible atrocities that made this war such an unforgettable event? Stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we examine evolution and World War II. By uncovering the connection between evolution and the Second World War, some may claim that we're just trying to blame evolution for the deeds of evil men in society. For those who may be skeptical or have never considered the far-reaching influence that evolution has on society, we suggest that you listen to what our guests have to say and then draw your own conclusions. ICR biologist John Rika explains how the evolutionary view of survival of the fittest fueled the fires of racial superiority that led to the Second World War.
Commonly, the connections to evolution in World War II refer to a subject generally known as social Darwinism. Social Darwinism is the idea of taking the biological principles of evolution and applying them to social theories, such as race and heredity and these various factors that people were starting to look at even closer after the publication of Origin of Species. What people were looking for was a naturalistic explanation for the world. If there is no God and he didn't make the world and evolution is true, and when we look in nature, Darwin said things were based on survival of the fittest. In other words, the animal that was the strongest or perhaps the smartest or just by chance had a mutation that benefited him above all the other animals was the one that would survive. That theory then went that, well, if this is how it happens in the animal kingdom and there is no God and human beings are basically just evolved ape creatures or anthropoids or something of that nature, then this theory should apply to human ethics and human interaction also. And so people thought or started to believe, along with some imperialistic leanings, and this gave it sort of a scientific basis, that the strongest or the most fit races are the ones that will ultimately dominate the planet and survive.
The most notorious villain of World War II was Nazi Germany leader Adolf Hitler, who was a fervent evolutionist. Millions of people, including 6 million Jews, were murdered by the Nazis simply because they weren't the favored race, or because they were deemed unsuitable to live due to some handicap or physical flaw. Now, while we're not saying that people who believe in evolution are Adolf Hitler's, it's important to understand that Hitler's actions were utterly consistent with his Darwinistic worldview. Jim Stambaugh is Director of Library Services at Washington Bible College and Capital Bible Seminary in the D.C. area.
One of the main underlying ideas of Nazi philosophy was that the Aryan race was the superior race of all. And so what they wanted to do was take evolutionary thought and take it to its logical conclusion that if we had random mutations and selection throughout time, what we can do as humans is now manipulate that, especially within the human population. And so we can usher in this race of supermen. And that was the idea that Hitler wanted to promote. And, of course, you have all these other races who are then inferior, who then have to be eliminated. And so the Holocaust then became his means of doing that. And so we can see within Hitler's ideas, they were influenced by Darwinism.
But Hitler's twisted views were not only inspired by Darwin. The views of 19th century atheistic philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche also played a role in Hitler's attitude of superiority.
Friedrich Nietzsche postulated a couple different things that Hitler picked up on, one of which was that you can have this superman, as he called it, the Übermensch, And so what Hitler wanted to do was to create this race of supermen. So he combined Nietzsche's ideas of Superman with the Darwin ideas of evolution. So Hitler wanted to promote an Aryan race.
And Vision Forum President Doug Phillips tells us that Japan and Italy, which were part of the Axis powers, also fell into the same arrogant evolutionary trap as did the Nazis.
Now, Hitler was not alone in these beliefs. These beliefs affected others. They affected Mussolini in Italy. And in their own way, they were part of the religious worldview system of the Japanese as well during the World War II era. Because the Japanese had a belief of cultural and racial superiority, which ultimately drove their eschatology. And what was the eschatology of the Japanese? It was the belief that ultimately their sun god, who happened to be the emperor, would lead for global domination and all other races would either be wiped out or would be placed under the boot of the Japanese. Because the evolved species, the pure races, the Japanese believed that was themselves, Hitler believed it was the white Aryans, but the leadership, the pure races, should be the ones that oversee and enslave the rest of the world. People don't realize that evolutionism leads to mass slaughter. It leads to torture. It leads to the murder of individuals that are considered to be less evolved. And so this is the great nightmare that was the Second World War.
Those who may argue that evolutionary theory does not promote the attitude of racial superiority simply need to be reminded of the very title of Darwin's book on origins. Although you may not be able to find the original title in today's editions, the full title is actually The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. So, as Doug Phillips explains, it's plain to see that this evolutionary supreme race idea didn't start with Adolf Hitler.
Who is the superior race in the mind of Adolf Hitler? It certainly wasn't Jews. It certainly wasn't blacks. The superior race were white Aryans, and this came directly as a derivative philosophy of Charles Darwin's evolutionary thinking. And if we remember, we go back to the title of Charles Darwin's book, it specifically addresses the battle amongst favored races. Well, Hitler took this idea, and he drew from others. Philosophers like Nietzsche, who spoke of the Übermensch, or the Superman. And so Hitler's philosophy was the Übermensch. We will raise up supermen. You saw this in the late 1930s Olympic, with films like the late producer Leni Riefenstahl produced on the Triumph of the Will, or Olympiad, in which the whole point was to show the evolutionary development of man, the rejection of lesser races, and the perfection of the Aryan race, the perfect body. It was a revival of ancient Greek evolutionism, and it was an adaptation of Darwin's thinking applied to Nietzsche.
So, this wrong evolutionary thinking in the evil mind of Adolf Hitler brought about one of the worst cases of horrific genocide the world has ever seen.
As a result of evolutionary influences, Hitler took the thinking to such a level that it was acceptable to experiment on humans, because after all, they were simply lesser human beings, that entire races of individuals could be wiped out en masse in the most horrific manners known to mankind, and this could be done in the name of the Übermensch, the name of the evolutionary development of society, and the name of the Aryan race. And so we see a little microcosm of the fruits of evolution through the story of Hitler's Germany and the Third Reich.
Although Hitler and his Nazis carried out terrible atrocities with cruelty beyond our comprehension, he wasn't alone in his thinking. Doug Phillips tells us that social Darwinism was permeating America and Europe by the late 1800s and was growing stronger as time went on.
Beginning in the 19th century with Charles Darwin, with men like Ernst Haeckel and others, theories began to develop which would ultimately percolate and serve as the foundation for Nazi social theory, Nazi political theory, Nazi eugenic theory. Early in the 20th century, individuals like Margaret Sanger drew from evolutionary thinking to talk about the importance of eugenics. Eugenics was the idea that we should be creating a master race, that we should be isolating certain individuals that do not have the proper genes or the proper melanin count. We don't like their background. We don't like their skin color. With the goal that we will remove defectives from society and we will advance the superior race.
We can see how Hitler's belief in the evolutionary science of the day in the 1930s and 40s propelled him to the wickedness and brutality of human genocide. John Rijka gives an example of the science that Hitler embraced during the World War II era and warns that today we need to learn from the terrible mistakes of the past.
He used some of the best science at the time. For instance, there was a science that started called phrenology. This was the measurement of skulls and looking at people as far as the bumps on their head and how intelligent they were. And we see he used this in, for instance, the measurement of noses and stuff that ultimately showed the German race was superior to, for instance, the Jews. Well, of course, this is ridiculous. Scientifically saying that you could tell what a person's intelligence is based on his nose is moronic and sort of the nth degree. But this is what was used at the time. And again, Hitler was not, I don't think, as out of the mainstream as people like to portray him today because of the horrific things that ultimately came from policies like this. Policies, I would suggest, that still have some shadows in what we see today. For instance, going on in stem cell research, we want better breeding. Now, again, I don't say that all these are people are fascists and they want to practice genocide on a large scale, other than if we do, for instance, fetal stem cell research, we will see large amounts of embryos being destroyed. If those are ultimately people, as a Christian and even a good scientific worldview might suggest, it is genocide, pure and simple.
However, the biblical creation worldview is completely opposite of the evolutionary philosophy that fueled the fires of hate and evil that became the Second World War.
Again, the basic idea of survival of the fittest is only the strongest survive. Somehow they're either strong, they're more fit in some sense of the word fitness. And of course, the Christian worldview is basically 180 degrees around that. We are to take care of the weak and the lame and the sick. These are the ones as Christians we're supposed to reach out to. This is why, for instance, Hitler had sort of a grudge against Christianity. And the Nuremberg Papers, as we're learning more, even in the last 10, 15 years, suggest that once he had finished the genocide of the Jews, Christianity would be next.
As God delivered us from the hand of evil in World War II, so he offers us victory from the power of sin through Jesus Christ. Once again, the biblical truth stands in stark contrast to the lie of evolution. Jim Stambaugh.
Evolutionary theory would predict that man gets better and better. But what we see the Bible saying is that man is inherently wicked, inherently evil, and it's God who reaches out to us. And it was God who sent his son, who died on the cross, who took the place of every human being who has ever lived, who took the divine punishment that was due to us. He took it upon himself that God, when we accept his sacrifice of his son, he can now then give us eternal life in his son, Jesus Christ.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been encouraged. It's our desire at ICR to show that the Bible can be trusted, both historically and scientifically, and to give facts that will build your faith. As Christians, we need to understand the scientific basis for our beliefs. We pray that this program will aid you in your discovery of science and the Bible. You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.